Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again tonight to know that the truth of the Word is that all things are possible now that you are here. Not that they were not possible before, but they were not in order as they are in order this hour for the people who called upon your name for ages, Lord, to satisfy that longing, to awaken your likeness, to be transformed into a body like unto the body of your glory, Lord. But now is that hour, according to what has been revealed through vindication, that we have that promise now. So all things are possible, because this will be the exit out of and the entrance into what we're looking for, restoration complete, and even beyond that, Lord. For we know that Adam did not have a glorified body, but will have one like yours, putting aside the earthly and then taking up the heavenly. That's wonderful. We know this to be the truth, Lord. There's no doubt about it. There's no problem whatsoever. This is truth. And we know it is the truth. And Lord, we know that we look for that amongst ourselves, each one here, believing, hoping to the end, O God. And knowing also, as the prophet said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and she will be just what we're talking about, Lord. And by your grace, may we have such inner strength through thee and by thee, Lord, that we will not get in her way. But Father, we do prefer the other, which we believe we're heir to, for you have not brought us this far in truth without, Lord, showing us the end of our salvation, which we believe is right here now. Father, we are waiting with earnest expectation, and somehow we believe the hope is of you to see our beloved ones come forth very, very soon now. It's a matter of hardly any time, whatever. We shall be consorting with them, talking with them, a part of them, Lord, and then away in the rapture to the wedding supper. We praise you for this truth tonight, Lord. May we think about it. And may we live it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, certainly nice to see all you folk out tonight and see the good friends from Canada. Come on down. I think that's right. Zacchaeus came down and met with the Lord, and so the Canadians came down. Not that they couldn't meet the Lord up there, but it's nice. And also see Brother and Sister Davis and Brother and Sister Hill. Isn't it Hill? That's right. From a little down below us in Kentucky. I thought when I saw that car that had to be they. I appreciate that. And then we see Peter and Diane, all-time favorite kids from out west, come in to the east. And that's beautiful. So appreciate seeing you all. And trust the Lord will bless you richly. Now, you know, of course, what we've been doing here, we just take the messages of Brother Branham and try to go through them the best we can. And the last message we brought was from page 13 on Events Made Clear by Prophecy, paragraphs 56 to 58. Well, we read them, made a few comments, and then took a departure from them into the Voice of the Sign, which is a fantastic sermon, but you really have to hear it rather than have it read to you. It's much, much more compelling when it is read, heard rather than on the tape. And then now tonight, what we'll do, we'll go back to paragraph 58 again in the Events Made Clear by Prophecy, and read paragraph 58, then we'll make another departure back to the other message on the Voice of the Sign, and hopefully then we'll finally get back to Events Made Clear and take it paragraph by paragraph, which is what we really want to do, and hoping we're going to be able to do it. All right, now also glad to see Brother and Sister Green, and Brother and Sister Roden, and anyone else that comes in, glad to see y'all. We praise the Lord for every single one. I got to talking to a brother that gave me a call from down yonder, quite a ways down. And of course, I'm a little bit lavish in my praises of you folk behind your backs. To your face, pooey. But behind your back, I don't mind spreading it on, you know, thick as, you know, you like whatever you like. Whipped cream on strawberries or something like that. So I was just saying, look, we don't have many people in our church like some of you guys got hundreds. But I said, I think we've got the greatest concentration of the reality in our people than any place I've ever been or hope to be. Now that might be putting it pretty thick, but I like to put things thick. It does me good to talk about you folk and your love, your kindness and all those things. And I said, well, I said, sure, you're going to find people down in your church too. They're as good as ours, but you won't find that many. Concentration wise, you know. So we got to concentrate, you know. That means if a lot of dilution came by and a lot of things come by, you can always stand up, you see. That's part of the law of density. You know how it is. You just float. That's out stuff away that you don't want. And I don't mean people now. I mean actions and things. Just float them right out and just keep going down the road because you've got the density of Christ. That's right, see? And he's the kind you can't add to or take from. When you've got that, that's density. That's permanency. That's foundational. That's the whole thing. Well, anyway, let's get back to talking about the message here. We're never going to get part of it done even. All right. Now, here it says in this 58th paragraph of Events Made Clear, now, every time that the church gets mixed up, and God foreknew they would, for he foreknew all things, that's part of sovereignty, see, an infinite God, therefore he has his certain prophet ready for that age, to call his electing by his vindicated word of signs and wonders, and confirmation of his word, confirming the word with signs following, as he promised. He gives the true interpretation after the prophet himself has been vindicated. Now, that's a fabulous dissertation of the whole ministry of Brother Branham and all others of his kind, this in a nutshell. Now, so, immediately now, when we read this, I want to read it again. Now, every time that the church gets mixed up, and God foreknew they would, foreknew all things, and therefore he has his certain prophet ready for that age. Now, watch the language. You see, now I'm going to tell you what your minds are doing, because my mind is just as rotten as yours. The devil would rip our minds back to the old established way of thinking. Now, he's not thinking what you and I are, he's not saying what you and I are thinking. Because, you see, you and I are too used to the status quo of the ages between 1 and 7. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that status quo in there is a very terrible thing, because if you don't understand Alpha's Omega precept, the 1 and the 7, your mind sticks with the old formula. And the old formula is everything remains as it is. It's just God did something and it keeps on going. And that's nice. It isn't, because it's not all done. See, that's why Brother Branham was so hard to understand, because people could not understand how there is something allotted to each age. Now, we're going to show you that as we go along. There's something allotted. See, now, he has a certain prophet ready for that age. That age. See? Now, what age? The great mixture. The mingling of the seed kind of idea. The perversion. See? That thing settled in. Where people don't have a mind for the Word. Now they've got a mind for the Word and a heart for the Word, but a wrong anointing. Now you may have a taste in your mouth for a good piece of lemon pie. You got the whole thing there, but whoop, no lemons, you got apricots. Well, that's what I'm talking about. People got a taste. See, there's a heart there, and there's something there, but you notice, as we've already read in other sermons, they're longing for something, they know something's to happen, and it's going right over them. See, they're catching the spirit of it, but they don't catch the spirit. See, now he said that age. Now we got to watch these things, because all this is very pertinent. Every time the church gets mixed up, and God knew they would, therefore, he has a certain prophet ready for that age to call his electing. Now notice, to call his electing by his vindicated word of signs and wonders and confirmation of his word, confirming the word with signs following. As he promised, he gives the true interpretation after the prophet himself has been vindicated. Now, immediately recall that the title of this message is Events Made Clear by Prophecy, and think about it. What does that mean? What does it mean, events made clear by prophecy? All right? Does it not mean events that are now taking place can be meaningful and of salvation or deliverance to us if we know and accept the scriptures that speak of these events, if indeed they are spoken of? Now, you've got to hit it on the head that these are the events of this hour, because if you've got the wrong events or the wrong hour, the right events and the wrong hour, the right hour, wrong events, out. You just can't be haphazard. See? All right, now if they're spoken of, events of this certain age, now he's talking of this age, this mixed up lukewarm age, where everything goes. And man, it's horrible. You know that as well as I do. Because you see, it's typed by the woman. Not sisters in Christ, but typed by the woman. See? Now, we go over it again. Does this not mean events that are now taking place can be meaningful and of salvation or deliverance? That word's the same word in the Greek. Don't worry about it. To us, if we know and accept the scriptures that speak of these events. Sure. That's what it's all about. Events made clear. Events made meaningful. Events that if you can get the understanding somehow of the events of this hour, you have got it made. In other words, you are aligned with the Word, not only with the Word, but you're aligned with the chronology of the Word in its season. Don't forget, Brother Branham was right. He said, Moses never came preaching Noah's sermon. Jesus never came down preaching Moses. And William Branham had reserved to him a ministry of restoration. And one of the greatest, when you realize that he categorically states, and I read it to you time after time, about three times already, how that William Branham's ministry, the confrontation of God speaking face to face with man through the pillar of fire, three times in 6,000 years of history, Moses, Paul, William Branham. Now, if you cannot understand the events of this hour that was to happen, see, and thereby the word made clear, you and I are in trouble. But if we are a part of it, we're free, salvation. That's why he screamed, that makes you a believer. And he also, that makes you full of the Holy Ghost. So I'm looking at this. Look, be my guest. You want to pick up a kaleidoscope? That's what they call them, isn't it? Little thing, you can get a little box of popcorn and things, and you just twirl them around, whirl them around, you see all kinds of lights, and you just whirl around, move your eyes, move your eyes. You don't really see anything. You see geometric patterns. Who wants a geometric pattern unless it is the pyramidal city who church them and I'm going to be here? I want the Lamb to get there. Amen. So my brother and my sister, that's what we're looking at. Now, certainly, that is the truth. These events that are now taking place, if they are truly couched in Scripture, coming forth from prophetic Scripture, and they are made meaningful to us, God interpreting His Word, we in the correct hour for this great thing. Now remember, ahead of us, the 70 Adventists. They went up there with their feathers on. They came down sopping wet with the dew next morning. The Trinidad in Canada and the people from Columbus right near us now went right down to Arizona. Where are they today? Messed up worse than Hogan's goat. Now you tell me the Holy Ghost was in that nonsense. No more than you going down to the beer parlor and getting drunk. Either one could go either way. You know, think that over a bit. All right, now listen. Is this statement then correct, which I have said? That it is correct is proven by Jesus himself. Let's go to Luke, the 19th chapter. And we're going to see it exactly as I have said it, which I'm getting from the prophet. Just the title only is all I needed. 41-48. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, that's Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. This was their day to make it. And they died. Now, come on, that's chronology. Brother Brannan says, recognizing the day in your message. Recognizing the hour. And people are content to just take a haphazard, lukewarm look at it. No way, brother, sister. This is dead serious because this is life and death. Thou hast known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes, and peace will give way to tribulation, to sorrow, destruction, to famine, to peril, to sword, to death. And our age, the last death, is spiritual death, which is the lake of fire. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of visitation. What does the Bible say for our day? Fire is going to come and leave neither root nor branch. Same thing. Only in a greater manner than is this. Because this is only semi-winding up, as in a semi-great tribulation, we're looking to the great tribulation and the great roundup, or windup. And he went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, and saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Ha! What do you think of Christ coming today, and looking at these great big churches with business agents and business managers? Oh boy, if he threw out those poor people trying to do God a service, he'd really fix these ones. I want to tell you, money's a curse if you don't use it right. Love of money is still the root of all evil. What do they do with that money? They build up their prestige organizations, and they make them more twofold a child of hell than they ever were themselves. Why? Because Brother Branham said, once you add a word, you'll add a word, and add a word, and add a word. You take a word, you take away, take away, take away. Until the book finally becomes a book that cannot be understood by anybody, unless God himself were to come down and do something about it. And who said God doesn't come down and do things about it? That's his policy. And he taught day in the temple. And the chief priests and the scribes of the people sought to destroy him. And they could not find what they might do. Now, I want you to notice that 44th verse, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So don't let that escape you. He said they did not know the time of their visitation, and they were the ones that should have known it because the promise was unto them. Now we've got a promise. See, he said you did not know the day of your visitation. Now, I want number one. How long was that visitation? Well, somebody says 3.5 years, I could beg your pardon. Let's find out what the Bible says how long that visitation was. To do so, we simply go back to the book of Luke again, and we start with chapter 1, and we'll see two places in there that we want to look at. First of all, we see 67, 68. And he said, and his father Zacharias was full of the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now that's John the Baptist. And you notice right there, there's a visitation right there through a prophet. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you? But you would not. I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. How does God gather his people unto him? By the word, through the word members. Absolutely. So here's a prophet. And it's called a visitation. All right, now let's go to 76 to 79. Here's somebody else seeing it. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. And thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert until the day of his showing unto Israel. That's where Brother Branham got his phrase that John did not get his training at a theological seminary. He got in the desert. Otherness, which was exactly true. All right. We can see here now that this visitation of Christ himself, because he also made a visitation, John pointed to him, and John had a visitation which was synonymous to the day spring from on high, how much more the day spring from on high himself? Because John was not the branch, Jesus was the branch. And John foreran him. So how long was the visitation? He said you didn't know the day of your visitation. It was over 33 years. Because remember, Anna knew who he was, and Simeon knew who he was, and others knew who he was. And there were those who knew, although they were deceased and passed on before the other crop came on, they knew actually God and his prophet. And that comprised the visitation. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now watch. What is a visitation? The word visitation and the word visit comes from the very same word that elder and bishops comes from, which is a the episcopate, the actual word in the Greek, which I'm not good at pronouncing, is episkeno, which means to inspect. And when you modify it and use it under certain conditions, it means to inspect with a view to elect or select out. But it actually means to oversee. It means to inspect. So therefore, we come to understand then that visitation can be called inspection. And notice in Luke 19, there was a visitation or an inspection before judgment. What about investigating angels today? What did Brother Brown say about those blobs of light? He said, stay away. One of these want to come and pick you up. Referring to the Spirit of God, no doubt, or cherubim, which is a manifestation. So what we see here is in this Bible that what Brother Branham is saying, for our time, that these events, when they're understood and placed correctly, will show the visitation of God through the prophet and God himself, which in the end is an inspection. Now, come on. See, let's prove that. I'll be glad to prove it. Let's go right back to the book we'll prove it from. It's Genesis. Genesis, the 18th chapter. Now, let's look there. Start at verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth be blessed in him. This is before Sodom. We'll get in that in Luke, like Brother Brown did. For I know him that he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now what is he saying there? He is saying he knows that in Abraham the faith of the children will be to the father. Well, come on.
Amen.
Come on, look at it. Abraham shall surely be a great nation, and all nations blessed him, for I know him. He'll command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. So what are those children's heart? They're to their father. Now here's your type before Sodom. Now remember, this is the elect. This is where God makes a choice. Now watch. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and investigate. I'll inspect. Make an inspection. That's what he said. You say what you want, but I'm telling what he's saying. Now this types this hour. This is this hour. As it repeats. I said, I'm going to go down and see whether you have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now you know the story there, so I'll just hit one more verse 32. And Abraham, he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. He said, when I come down in my investigation, I'll make a choice. Now, Alpha's Omega. And according to Brother Branham, who spoke the truth from Matthew 4 and Matthew, the 12 chapters, the Holy Spirit, Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit, must visit the Gentiles and do for them in the Holy Spirit, the form of the Holy Spirit, what he did for them when he was here resident in flesh. Now, that's what people overlook, is the part that Jesus was coming to make inspection. And he said, I've chosen you, you have not chosen me. Amen. Then he laid it on the line to the 70 who are semi-believers. He said, will you go? After they ran off on him. When he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, they said, that isn't sense. Well, that's cannibalism. That's stupid. That's crazy. And yet I believe in my heart, at the same time, they knew they were being struck at, because when you talk about eating and drinking flesh, you know you cannot drink the blood, but you can eat the flesh of the sacrifice. The priesthood was allowed it. Something in their heart, to me, I believe, made them know that he was striking plumb at the core of their spiritual existence, which was a sacrifice of bulls and goats and things. They didn't want it. The destruction of their priesthood. The whole fabric was going to go to pieces. They didn't like that, no. The people don't like it today.
You tell them that Jesus Christ must appear. He's got to come in an investigation. And it's got to be one with Scripture. It's got to be Alpha. It's got to be Omega. And that takes John to present the Christ. See? All right. Now, God the Lord went his way as soon as he left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, that is Luke 17. I told you we'd get to it. I don't mind repeating these things because they do us good to just nail everything down until there ain't nothing left but nails. That's the Word of God. You get enough nails that you don't have to worry about anything else. All right. Verse 20, he would demand the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, and he said to them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In plain English, it'll come and you won't even know it. Just like right now.
Amen.
And remember, he centered the kingdom of God in himself. See? Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It really is in the midst of you. And unless that king is in you, that is the Holy Spirit baptism, you won't get anywhere. And he said, disciples, the days will come when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Now he's talking about himself in his own peculiar ministry. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Christ, the Son of the living God, went back to a pillar of fire in the form of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Then who is he? He's what he said to Paul, I'm Jesus. So I told you, young, sweet young brother, come by from Europe. I said, I know you heard a lot of things about Lee Vale over there, how he's in wrong doctrine, this and that, but I said, I just want to ask you a question. I said, what do you think of when I mention the name Jesus Christ? I said, don't answer, I'll tell you. I said, you think of the man that's at the right hand of the majesty on high, the body of flesh. He said, yes. I said, you're wrong. You should have seen him wince. Nothing against the boy, I love him, but I want to help him. Paul didn't say that. He said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have once known Christ after flesh, henceforth know we him no more.
Glory to God.
That part is over and done, gone with. That's why Brother Branham consistently called it the body. When that pillar of fire met Paul the apostle, who was Saul of Tarsus, he said, why do you persecute me, Saul? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. He said, oh, boy, somebody moved me there. Well, that was really a reflection. That was something that was said. Oh, forget it. That was he.
Amen.
Get your thinking lined up. Get away from your old bootstrap religion. Your fundamental theology is a bunch of hogwash. The biggest job you and I have got is to renew our minds and get to thinking the way Brother Branham thought. To take every word and understand what he said. And not understand the light of our understanding, but understand in the light of his understanding, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
And not only the Word of God, but the Word of God revealed. Now that's a difference. Because one has life. The other has only potential. We are in the midst of life, my brother, my sister. These are the waters that Ezekiel saw flowing from the temple to swim in that take you plumb over the other side. You will not die, but live. I could be dead tomorrow morning, and most of us too, but that does not abrogate the promise of God.
Amen.
There is somebody here going to see it. Because Brother Branham himself, as we'll read tonight perhaps, absolutely said, he said, if I live a normal life, he said it should all be over. And Brother Branham would be actually 76 years of age now, because I'm 71 this fall, and he's 70. He's 5 years older in April, and my birthday's in September. All right. We're reading, so we keep reading. They shall say unto you, see, here's the, don't follow them, don't go after them. For as lightning that lighteth under one part of him and shines the other part, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. Now, right away, everybody's just, they think of zap, zap. Brother Branham categorically said it wasn't zap, zap. He said, as the light rises in the east and travels to the west, so this is what he's talking about. And this is exactly what it is. Now, we'll talk more about how this comes out. Just don't worry. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected. The generation. Now it tells you right there, before this can happen, he has got to be die upon Calvary's cross. So therefore there is a physical rejection as well as a spiritual rejection. But at the end time there cannot be a physical. It's got to be a spiritual because he's not here physically.
Amen.
So that's what you're looking at. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now he tells you the very days are going to repeat. Why can't people see that? I'll tell you why. Because they're blind. Now, you don't kick a blind man around. But neither do you say, oh, I'm so sorry for you. I'll just get blind like you. You do your best to get him to the smartest doctor, the greatest prayer warrior, to get him right to God to get that blindness out. But just stand there and say, I got God, hallelujah. Don't now just leave me alone. I'm having water. Spiritual blindness, my brother, sister, not physical, but I'm comparing the two. You understand what I'm saying? It's just that simple. Now, they ate, they drank, they married wives, were given in marriage until the day that Noah and the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planned, they built it. But the same day the Lot went out of Sodom, rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now it tells you right at that time that that revelation, when it starts, will continue until destruction. Well then, those days of the Son of Man are still here. He's still being revealed. You say, well, I don't think so. You've got mixed up, my brother, my sister, with the proof that it is the Son of Man being revealed with the revelation itself. You're still hanging on to the miracles and signs and wonders. That which preceded the Word, went before the Word, which was a vindicated prophetic ministry, is over and gone.
Amen.
Now he must increase. See, that's where people are all mixed up. Now, you should be wise to that. I brought that out the other day. It took me 20 years to understand that one. So don't feel bad. But once you get a thing, let's not let it go. Remember, Jesus began to do and to teach. And that's not the little platitude of people say, well, you see, what you do, you live your sermon, then you preach it. Hogwash. I don't care if you live just like Jesus Christ and try to get 10 degrees higher. If you're not born again, you ain't got nothing. Jesus began to do what? He began to do the miracles that vindicated and showed him. He said, which work have I left undone? Why don't you listen?
Amen.
He did the works, then said, listen.
Amen.
Vindication goes before the word, vindicating a prophet, showing it's God.
Right.
Then the signs follow the word. What is the sign to follow our word? Immortality, hallelujah.
Amen.
You think we're not going to have it? Somebody's going to have it tonight.
Amen.
I'm looking at enough young people here. My God, have hope and glory in Christ tonight. Old dog like me can stand up here and get excited. What about you younger pups? Our old goat and sheep, call it what you want to call it. You know, call it what you want. Listen, he said in that day he was on the housetop and he's up in his house, let him not come down. Now he's going back to the day that this is a forerunner of. Because every scripture has compound meanings. And not only compound meanings, but compound times when it happens. I brought my son out of Egypt. Happened way back when Israel came out. Brought his son of Egypt when Jesus went down, preserved by Joseph and Mary. You can have many, many times it should be fulfilled. All right. Now, in the field, don't let him return. Remember Lot's wife. Now notice, the main thrust is upon Sodom and Gomorrah, which did not take place then. It's going to take place now. All right. Investigating angels. The proof that it is the fact of the Son of Man ministry. The proof of it is visitation. Brother Brown said he's obligated. Obligated means it's in Scripture. He has to come as foreordained. That absolutely God in the form of the Son. That's S-O-N. And remember, Son of God is always Holy Spirit. According to the resurrection. And he said, if he's risen from the dead, and the same yesterday, day, and forever, he'll be here in the form of the Holy Spirit, and do what he did back there, and he did it, and went over their heads, because it was too simple, they had their own ideas. Well, Brother Brandon, if you do this, we'll believe that. Oh, forget it, you just so sealed your doom. You Church of Christ had come and said, hey, we didn't mean that kind of healing. We cut the little girl, and then you heal her. You talk about devils. I'm not going to apologize. You said, Brother Vail, I thought after you got sick, you mellowed down. I have mellowed down. I don't have a hot anger anymore. I got a cold anger. I can stand back and watch and listen. And I know. And I don't know anything any more than you know. So, don't tell me about that. I know the truth. That's the same thing Satan said. If thou be the Son of God, you do it my way. Make those stones bread. Come on. And the Bible still says, if I had not done the works of the man, did they not sin? But now they've both seen and hated both me and my father. And he said, you hate me. Now, Brother Branham called those people Christians. And they were, because Messiah and Christ is the same word. They crucified the very Messiah. The people aren't doing any different today. Now, let's understand these things once and for all. Nail them down. Just how are you going to crucify something that's not here? Come on. Fap, I never heard such gross nonsense in all my life. Oh, I've heard the United States government doing it. They stink of sneaky, rotten politicians. They put people that are dead for 20 years on the ballot, on the roll, so they have dead people voting. Well, the United States gone to hell anyway.
That's right.
It's finished. It's going to burn.
Amen.
There's an atomic bomb with this hydrogen bomb, whatever with this name on it. The one for the Vatican, too, so let's put the whole thing where it belongs. Now, you're not going to, you know, kid yourself. I'm not vitriolic and bitter. I'm just telling you the truth. Remember Lot's wife. She had the chance and she went back. She looked back. What was her looking back? She was repining. And looking around to see, is it really so? What do you want for nickel? People still looking down the road for some great big thing. You've seen the big thing. And the biggest thing of all is still coming, and that's where we're going to get out of here, change. Oh, my, I can't hardly wait for my change. Oh, time machine, eternal life. It's here. It's coming on. Now, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, that's talking about your soul life. That's very true. People laying up treasures, everything else. Church membership, all that stuff is gone. You lose it. And if you just give it all now, you got glorification coming. I tell you, in that night, there should be two in one bed, one taken, one left. That's, what is he doing? In the investigating judgment, he's selecting by election. I'll take this, I'll leave that. There's your visitation. That's your visitation right there. What was there? Absolutely Almighty God. And notice what it was. The pillar of fire in Acts 8 does not obviate over there the chapter of Genesis 18, as I told you last Sunday. And I just left it with you. But watch what it is. Here is God down here with the prophet. Dealing with the prophet. Over here, you find God dealing with the prophet by a pillar of fire. At the end time, he brings them both together. So now we have the pillar of fire, and Brother Branham said, that is not the Son of Man. I am not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now we got the election here. We got the prophet here. We got God here. And William Branham is not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit moving in and through the prophet, demonstrating and proving.
Amen.
The days of the Son of Man are here. As Elohim was in a human vessel. Now in the pillar of fire, working through another human vessel. Infallible. Absolutely vindicated. And he said, see, there's the picture. Now I want you to look at that thing and understand you don't worship that, but you better honor that. And over here's another picture. You better honor that too. We're not dealing with gimmicks.
Amen.
We're not dealing with idols that cry. And some hokey-pokey stuff the devil's put on the people. This was a vindicated man. And people know that he's vindicated. Then why are they crucifying themselves the very Christ they're looking for? You know why? Because Israel looked for him, but not in the way he came as to the manifestation of the person. I'm talking now of the individual. And how he came in the sense of what he did. No, they turned it down flat. They're doing the same thing today. And they're all screaming, oh, appearing and coming is two different things. Wonderful, appearing and coming. Yes, it is. Now is the appearing. I want to tell you something. 1977, I didn't get desperate. I wasn't desperate. I went before the Lord and I said, my God, I don't understand. The prophet said appearing and coming are two different things. I've gone through the scripture. I've looked it over. I can't understand. I'm going to look one more time. And I didn't say any desperate thing, well, if I don't see it, I'm going to quit. I just said, I'll look one more time, and if I don't see it, I'll just put it on the shelf and walk away. I didn't say I'd neglect the thing and leave it as though I was going to walk away from what the prophet said. I just said, I can't have it. I found the word proves your presence. And I realized then that the person could be there, and you wouldn't even know that he'd come, but there he was. And you know what? I got carried away with the thought of presence. But I was looking for appearing. And that's what appearing is all about, is presence. So I've been preaching the appearing all these years. You say, how dumb can you get? I've answered your question, stupid. You know, as I smiled when I said it. I want you to get the point. We are thick, brother, sister. We are thick, and we need to call upon God and get some simplistic answers. Real simple answers. And the more I see this, the simpler it gets. Just give him time. That's all. All right, we've read that. Now notice, two in the field, one taken off. And they answered and said, where, Lord? And he said, wherever the body is. That is soma, not toma. Soma. The real body. The healthy one. The immortal. Well, I'm not talking now about the raptured bride, and they're going to be raptured bride. I'm talking about the fact of what brings it on, which is the living, pure Word of God. As Brother Branham said, my soul panteth after thee, O Lord, as the hart after the water brook. And this is that one that has been revealed. And we are living on the holy body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're feeding on it. And our cells are transforming around it, whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
You know, a lot of folk don't believe that, but it's the truth. Thither are the eagles gathered. The gathering of the people, according to 2 Thessalonians, according to Brother Branham, by gathering together to the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, is that word, Logos, manifested word, and printed page, which is the blueprint that showed forth this is the true Logos. All right, this is also 1 Peter 2 and 25. So we go to there. And notice the words. For you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. That's the overseer, the selector, the elder. Pastor and elder. That's what he's called. Now I'm asking you a question. Is this the body, or is this the one in the pillar of fire? I'm going to tell you, if this is not the one in the pillar of fire, then Peter and Paul preached two different gospels. And Paul said, I went up there to Jerusalem and talked to those fellows. And he said, they didn't add one thing. His revelation was perfect. See? Why? Because Peter understood what Jesus said. I'm going to come back, he said. And the promise was not only to come back individually to baptize each person so each one could have a measure, but he was to come back in order that someone, according to John 12 and 14, would have the mighty works that Jesus had. Now, if you're going to have that, you better have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in His fullness. You know why? Because every prophet was just a part, and every one of us just make up a modicum. And if you think then the part is going to supersede the whole, you're entirely wrong. It started with headship, and it ends with headship. Brother Branham said so. He said, we're back to it. I hope I haven't lost you in what the things I'm saying here. They're quite clear as you think them over. All right, now he is the one designated as the shepherd. That's the pastor and the overseer, the investigator, the selector, that one. Okay? And we go to 1 Peter 2 and 12. Now let's watch it. Having our conscience honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The day of overseeing. The day of investigation. The day of selection. Now listen to me. The two books of Peter are written concerning the appearing and the coming. So these books are for the end time. This is an end time subject, an end time treatise that's being fulfilled in this hour. Therefore, this verse of scripture which I have written, now listen, having your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Now there's a warning for us. This is not the rapture. This is not the second coming. It can't be because of what it says. That the day of visitation they will be seeing us. And we'll be producing. Well, as I prayed, like Brother Branham, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere producing. This is the hour to gear right down and do what the prophets say. Just love each other and love each other. And we're making steps. We got to make more steps. We're too green yet. Far too green. Got to let things slide and go. Just be nice, kind, and sweet. Do your dead level best. Sure, it's difficult, but I'll tell you what, you found it in this last few months easier than you've ever had it before to do certain things you never did before. Or I'll miss my guess. Maybe I've missed my guess. But I don't think I'm that quite off. Now, let's look at it. In the day of visitation, they'll be looking at us. So it's not the rapture or we'd be gone. And it's not the second coming because there's no use looking at us. They ain't going to see us anyway. Just bombs breaking, the whole thing is gone. So what's he talking about? The only thing I can see that he's talking about, and I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Because I just doubt that I'm wrong on these things. First John, the second chapter, verse 28. And now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, that's the Phanerol, to come forth in his absolute true identity and character, we may have confidence, that's a bonus, and not be ashamed before him at his parousia, his presence. Brother, sister, that's not the rapture and the wedding supper. How could I be glorified and caught up and be ashamed of this or that? Or scared or something else? Well, you're a glorified member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is this stuff out here, this nitsy-witsy? Come on, listen, we're in a different realm. So this is it this time, this hour. If you know he's righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. There's your key, everyone in the message. Which is the correct revelation. Go back to Cain. Cain was evil. His deed. That made him kill his brother. His brother was righteous, his deed. How come? Had a revelation. The other man didn't. How do you know you're serving God? You have the correct revelation. You're not mixed up in eternal security, tithing, church attendance, this, that, and the other thing. It's perfectly laid out before us. There might be a few intrinsic mysteries that lie within a doctrine, but not within a conduct. Women argue about cut hair. They still want to snip the ends off. Well, I don't understand women. You just put it out and say, well, girls, I'm sorry, but you done missed it. Flapping their hair off and things like that. You say, well, why? Don't ask me. That's gone. I want to tell you one thing. That the woman's hair is a veil. It's a covering. Now you want to ask, what veil does the bride have? Who's her covering? Holy Spirit. You start cutting off the Holy Spirit, what happens? Well, what are you going to do about it? I didn't write the Bible. That wasn't even my thought. That was given to me. Friend of mine, living all alone with no help from anybody, just getting tapes, Brother Branham's and the tapes from here. Began searching God. What is the seriousness of this whole thing? That's the answer came back. What did it say the hair was? A covering, a veil. Well, what's Christ? He's a covered. A cover. The hider. The cover. You got a type there. And the church has consistently cut off Christ until he says you might as well shave your head. You're bald headed. You're in the sight of God. You don't have a covering now. There's nothing between you and God. Where does righteousness come then? Well, the women and the bride know that, so there's no problem. Some have so few hairs, they say, I wish I had this or that. Well, that's good. You should wish things like that. Lots of hair is a good thing. That's your glory. Not something to, you know, fuss about. But that's just the point. That's just a little point there. All right, now, let's go back and watch the language. Paragraph 58. Now, every time the church gets mixed up and God foreknew they would, for he foreknew all things, therefore he has a certain prophet ready for that age to call his electing, or elected, by his vindicated word of signs and wonders, and that's intrinsically, essentially the prophet, because the man and the ministry is one, and the message is one, and all of one which is of God, God's behind it all, doing it all, and confirmation of his word. Confirming the word, then with signs following as he promised. In other words, he's telling you flat there, the prophet is already been vindicated by God, comes on the scene and says a thing. Watch that happen to you. Prophet's just right with it every single time, never makes a mistake, never out of order, everything's just right. You listen to that man. Before he comes to say it, he's vindicated. Great healing ministry. Set the man apart. Look at that fellow. See what's happening. Oh my, that's gotta be God. Right, that's got your attention. Next thing on the scene, thus saith the Lord, watch it come to pass. Now then, you better hear that message. Because all through that message, that vindication comes forth. Woman at the well, woman at the well, woman at the well. Oh, I don't like that. I think it's great.
Amen.
It's too simple for us smart guys. How smart?
Yeah, how smart?
Not very. Now, watch the significance again then. Science falling as he promised. Because, see, that prophet's got to have it come to pass or he's not a God. He gives the true interpretation after the prophet himself has been vindicated. Now, he tells you right there, in the midst of this last day great prophetic event, there are certain things of Scripture predicted that are coming to pass. And the prophet makes us aware of those things, showing us this is that hour for this great thing that is to happen in these events, that these events are pointing to. See? Understand. Now, he's perfectly vindicated. And the vindication is continuous. And absolutely, this is the one who explains it and tells it, and now we know.
Amen.
See? Now, that's Scripture. That's exactly how it is done. Now, watching the language. These events can only be revealed to us in their significance and power to deliver us. If a prophet is there, it is therefore as in 1 Peter 3:1-9 in the Wooster, the Wiest translation. I think Dr. Wiest calls himself Wiest, but I think the Germans call him Wooster. Well, whatever it is. Let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be eulogized, highly praised, who impelled by his abundant mercy caused us to be born again so that we have a hope which is alive. This living hope having been made actual through the intermediate instrumentality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among those who are dead. Notice how that's put. If he's risen from the dead, what's he going to do? He's going to make us live forever. That's one of the reasons he's here. Ha ha! With a shout, which is a message, and to raise the dead, and to take us up. When that spirit that's in our midst becomes transfigured, or incarnate to us, we'll call him, count, crown him King of Kings. Now, resulting in an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, that does not fade away, which inheritance has been laid up and is now being kept guarded in safe deposit in heaven for you who are constantly being kept guarded by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last season, which is epical and strategic in its significance. Well, you know what epic is. It's a particular period of time is marked by distinctive character events. The beginning of any distinctive period in history. All right, then, what about a particular event made at a certain state, made that brings on a certain state? That's what we're into. The events are leading up to a certain state, which is resurrection and our transformation going to the millennium. We are in an epical season. We are in a juncture, as Brother Branham called it. A turning of a corner in the building of the wall, the house, and strategic. What is strategic? Pertaining to and characterized by the nature of strategy. Important strategy. What's a strategy? It's generalship. That's what strategy is. The science or art of combining and employing the means of war in planning and directing large military movements and operations. The Lord shall descend with the shout, a military command. Getting your church in order. That's not just putting gifts in a little room. No, that's getting your thinking lined up to know that you are a functional part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't have to worry what you're doing, whether, like, ladder in, you're going to be a prophet, you're going to this, you're going to this, and you are just nice, sweet people. Be that way. And the Lord God will lead you and have rewards piled up sky high. But if you start fritting around here, and, you know, flitting around, I guess that's the word, you know, thinking you're some kind of a bee or butterfly, smelling the flowers for the glory of God, you're going to end up in the junk heap. You just leave your heart open, be led by God, pure, sweet, and simple, as God told through his prophet, this is required of thee, O man. There's no big requirements required of anybody. God requires of himself all the big requirements.
Amen.
If there's anything he wants you and me to do, just let him do it. In which last season, no more seasons, last is last. Yep. You are to be constantly rejoicing with the joy that expresses itself in a triumphant exuberance, although for a little while at the present time, if perchance there is need for it, you have been made sorrowful in the midst of many different kinds of testings in order that the approval of your faith, which faith was examined by the testing for the purpose of being approved. What if he's here now making a test? He's supposed to be. Well, come on, that's the truth, whether you believe or not. Now, you might not think this is what's been going on, but I'm telling you, they have been tried and they have flunked. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus made a parable. And that parable of Israel is the same parable today. He said there was a certain great man. He said, I'm gonna turn my great farm over here. And he said, these faithful servants, and I'm gonna come back at a certain time, and I want some fruit from that great farm. And so he sent some administrators down, and they said, hey, that's the ministry. Let's beat those guys up and get them out of here with their tails between their legs, and they booed them off. And the man said, hey, he said, that's not very nice. He's all sent somebody of a superior character down. So he sent that fellow down, and they just whipped the tar to that guy and sent him off and said, hey, this is great. We got everything in our hands. We're going to run it all. Well, the man said, what? He said, I don't understand those people. Yeah, I've been good to them. I let them have the land. He said, they get a cut in the whole thing. What more do they want? And one day they're going to take it over. He said, I'll send my son down. So the son came down, and they killed him. Now remember, our age repeats the way Israel did. We've had our seven church age members, we've had two prophets, Paul, and now we got William Branham, and they are categorically two of the three great men of all ages in that category. Now, what happens when he comes here in the form of the Holy Ghost? Well, they just run him off. He's outside the church. Crucified and sell the Son of God afresh. Now, this is the scripture. I'm laying it out before you here, brother, sister. I know what I'm talking about. Now, we're in the midst of testings in order that the approval of your faith, which faith was examined by testing for the purpose of being approved. That approval being much more precious than the approval of gold which perishes. Now you say, just a minute. Now, what is my testing? What is my testing in this hour? Your testing, Brother Branham said, was not what the other six angels were. For under the face of the lion, they went out, scattered the word of God. Under the beast, they just vied with each other to die. Martyrs. Under the face of the man, they fought as man to man. Brilliant men. But now, under the eagle, it's revelation. Have you changed your mind, renewed your mind tonight? Here's where your faith lies, brother, sister, in a revelation. Because faith is a revelation. I'm going to tell you, you've got the revelation or you wouldn't be here tonight. You'd be out there with the rest of the world and say, wow, that fellow Branham, he was a great guy, but he got swell-headed. You know, something happened. Then the mean bad ones, they'd say, wow, bless God, that false prophet got killed. We're sure glad for that. That man that judged everybody, he's been judged himself. The man that said that has led the world to the Pope. I got the letter. Don't tell me, brother, sister. I quote a letter one time to a certain lady. She said, did somebody else see the letter? I never did forgive her. Really? I don't expect they ever will. I disrespect. She can do what she wants, but I'll never trust her. Why? Because she doubted my word? Absolutely. I'm not a liar. I know when a man commits adultery, especially when it's in his own handwriting. If you want to defend adulterers and all this hogwash, you be my guest. But oh, please do me a favor. My stomach's been awfully touchy since I've been sick. Don't come by me, please. Just leave me alone. I don't know if God could vomit, then excuse me. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Look at it, brother, sister. There's no time to fool here. Now it says here, your faith is more precious than gold which perishes. Why would he use the word perish? Because it's going to burn. That bomb hits Rome, and the cathedral's listen. Barney Caber went down to Mexico City, I told you. He missed the gang he's supposed to meet with and take the tour. Well, he said, I'll look around myself. So the fellow said, I said, what if we go down to that great big basilica? I guess it was. So they went down there, and the man took them all around and showed him things that Protestants don't see, and few Catholics see. Took him behind the altar and everything else in front of the altar, here and there. And I think in one place in front of the altar, there are 22 gates of 15 tons of gold each. That's going to melt and burn and evaporate when the bomb's here. My faith ain't going to be that way. We'll have something more than the three Hebrew children went through the fiery furnace. Sure, he's talking about fire testing. May be discovered after scrutiny and result in praise and glory and honor at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. I thought Brother Branham preached and told us about it. I've preached for years, 1977, 8 solid years gone by now. I've preached solid and said, listen, all of these things have started. They're going on now. You believe what you want.
Amen.
You believe what you want. What's that? What's that? Brother Branham categorically said he's not. Moses went down to Egypt, and God was not only seen in signs and wonders, but God himself appeared.
Hallelujah.
There's a difference. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, because he gives gifts to the rebellious. That the Lord may be in the midst of them. The day of the midst of God's in the midst of his people, the rebellious get gifts, and they go out and they imitate the prophet, and they throw down the snakes. They throw down the sticks, and their folly's manifested. It's already going on. Now, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, we haven't seen him. We saw him manifested because of his preciousness. In whom, what preciousness means is scarce. Scarcity of bread, the living bread sent down heaven. In whom now, not seeing yet, believing you are rejoicing with an inexpressible and glorified joy upon the occasion of your receiving the promised consummation of your faith, which is the final salvation of your soul. In other words, he said that this time, there comes the last promise. What's the last promise? The appearing, the visitation, and in it, the change. All right. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. As the Lord said to my Lord, sit down my right hand, so that great God is here, that Lord, that's putting all things under the feet of Jesus Christ. And remember, they will be under the feet of Jesus Christ, and God himself will be accepted, E-X-C-P-T, not E-double-C, but E-X. God left out, because the Lamb on the pillar, on the fire, on the throne above the pyramid, and we all under his feet, because he's solitary up there, the solid figure, the capstone. And over him is the pillar of fire. That's what started right now going on. This is the consummation. I wish we could understand the consummation. I wish we could understand we have drifted slowly into eternity, and time and eternity blended. That's why everything is so muddled up, all skewed up, so all messed up, so mixed up every way, shape and form. That's why 6 months have gone by. Seven. Where's it gone? Tell me. Years ago when I was a kid, and some of you sitting here were kids, time was slow. But you talk to kids today, time's not slow any longer. I said, well, Brother Vader, you're talking about the 3 summer months of vacation. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the fact that kid people are talking as they did not talk. We listen, brother, sister. In one short jump, we have gone, and I'm speaking as a man 71 years of age this fall. I know what I'm talking about. We have gone from the horse and the buggy to past the jet. We've gone into space travel. I'm not quite 71. We had horse and buggy. My brother delivered groceries with a horse and buggy. From 1929, we got some kind of an old car, dilapidated old chunky. One of those old touring sedan deals. An old Chevrolet. Chevrolet's still a good car. We finally spread ours around in pieces. A friend of my sister's had a nice Model T Ford. It was very nice. Right from the horse and buggy, brother, sister. From the mud roads to the finest jet airports in the world, to Paris within an hour and a half. Not even that. They got travel lined up right now. You can get too high. What did they say? What is it, 3 hours or less than that? I forget. One of the fastest planes as yet is being produced. I don't know if they got it on the market yet or not, but I think the man said, if I'm sure, he said you could leave America in 3 hours or less than that, you'd be in way over in the Orient. I suppose because man alive, they're just traveling out of sight. Now at this end time, the token himself is here. The baptism has given way to the Holy Ghost himself. And so there we see it. All right. Now, watch. Since we see all this to be true from the Scripture, we do not forget what Amos 3 and 7 says. And he says, shall the Lord do something that he's going to do and not use a prophet? All right, then, that necessitates a prophet for the rapture. How are you going to make it to the prophet? Well, you say, well, you see, Paul already told us all about it. Oh, brother, sister, you got your wires crossed up on that one. Because Peter doesn't contradict Paul, and Peter in 2 Peter, he says right here concerning the very appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ and our catching up in glorification. He said, oh, so I'm going to tell you something. He said, we have a word of prophecy made more sure. Why do you do well to take heed? And that's the 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 19. There's a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star rises in your heart. And I said, you wait until that event comes. When the day dawn and the day star rises in your hearts, when you are going to receive a special illumination, individual special illumination will be granted at the end time. just before Mount Transfiguration. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. What's he talking about? Not the giving of it, but the revealing of it. Just think, said Brother Branham, the same pillar of fire that gave the word to Paul is here revealing it. Amen, Brother Prophet is right on the nose. Right on top with the Bible. How are you going to miss it? Well, this ought to make us take communion with joy in our hearts and foot washing until my we should go out of here flying. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. That's what the headstone cries in time. Grace, grace. Bring forth the headstone with crying of grace. Not law, 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 but grace, grace, grace. Marvelous grace, for loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount that poured there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace. I'm going to bring forth that same one that shed his blood. He's here right tonight. People say what they want. They'll say what they want. You can't see him, certainly not. Well, I'll tell you what, he let a photograph you take him. Remember, when they came out of Egypt, they could see him. But they said to Moses, Moses, tell God, we don't want to see and hear anymore. You do it all for us. And God said, very good. They did. That's perfect. That's beautiful. That's how it's done. That's how it's done.
Amen.
You say, I don't see nothing. That's because you ain't looking. He went down the basement, shut the door, and said, there's no light out there. Man, I love the sunshine.
Amen.
And not just, well, one of the reasons I'm terribly cold-blooded. This little siege of sickness didn't do me any good either in heaven. Sunlight comes in the window, pull all the drapes back, everything, or let the sun come. If we're kneeling down praying, I make sure my legs stick out in the sunshine, if possible, if I need it. Sunlight in my soul. Absolutely. Sun, you can't have light without being warm. Warms your heart, warms your life. Beautiful. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord's so good to us? Okay. That demands, the rapture then demands absolutely a prophet. See? Because it's a juncture. And Peter says so. Now, let's go back again and see the chronology. Now, every time the church gets mixed up, and God foreknew they would, for he foreknew all things. Therefore, he has his certain prophet ready for that age. And we're talking about today, not yesterday. Who cares about yesterday? To call his elected by his vindicated word of signs and wonders and confirmation of his word. Confirming the word with signs following as he promised. In other words, Brother Branham could say we've had a continual revival for 30 years, which is unheard of. It only lasts 3 at the most. It's still going on. False anointed took up the signs and wonders. Let him go ahead. I'm not against signs and wonders. I wish we had more and more. But brother, sister, that's not the criteria. That's not the desideratum. The thing is what we've got, which is the word. You see, that's the thing that counts. People don't want to understand that, but I'm sorry. All you got to do is use common sense like Brother Branham taught us. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Got off the word. What's going to get us back to the garden? Get on the word. When are you going to get on the word? At that certain hour that man can reach forth his hand. The predestinated hour. This is that predestinated hour. Yes, sir. When Jesus was that Son of Man, he raised Lazarus as a proof of this last hour. And he said, I'm the judge. Did he judge anybody? He said, no, I'm not judging anybody. He said, I'm leaving that. But he's back here, investigating judge. That's what he called the judge. There's the judge, the wig and the whole thing. Well, he said, that's kind of funny. Oh, sure it is. Very peculiar. Yeah. Oh, these old Greeks here tonight, they seek wisdom. You got hooked. And these bunch of Jews, you seek signs. Ha! Okay, you sign seekers and you wisdom seekers, where are you going to be? That's the judge.
Amen.
He said, judge. Sit there. Call him a liar. I'm not challenging people to commit an unforgivable sin. I'm just saying, you do what you want. You're going to do it anyway. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do it anyway. Because it's God in and willing and doing. And he's not in, how's he going to will and do? Got to turn to that word. Just keep that word living. That's all. I still maintain. Look, love will flourish and develop right down the line. If you will stick to this word and make it your chief call. Not as you're some critic sitting here someplace else. But you love that word. You want to be part of it. And you got to believe that your brothers and sisters are part of it too. And Brother Branham said there's nickels and dimes and coppers and dollars. One the dollar class, Mr. Cool. You're the dollar, he's meant smaller class. Not dollar smaller. Let's get to the alliteration, shall we? Whatever it is. No, the rhyme, not the alliteration. All right, to bring it out. Let's put it this way. If God is in the process of bringing to pass specific events that he prophesied must come at junctures, he has a prophet ready whom he will reveal himself to. That's God will be himself the prophet at that time. Then vindicate that prophet by signs and wonders, and thus saith the Lord. send that prophet with the signs to the people. And when the prophet himself is revealed, you catch on what it's about, who he is, he in turn will reveal God and explain the events in progress, and it will be a new message, not an old one. And how could Brother Branham ever preach the rapture the way the fundamentalist calls it? Well, that brings us to the question. If we are not in process of being raptured, what are we in process of? Going to hell. I'm going to hit it right on the head. We are in process of maybe not going to hell, but being cannon fodder and bomb fire. Now make up our minds. It's easy. Well, I believe the prophet. Well, do you really believe the prophet? God, believe me. I'm just here to encourage you to believe the prophet. You believe me, you got problems. I don't believe myself. I keep questioning, looking. But I tell you one thing. All I got to do is look at the prophet, and I know he's got to be right. See? All right. We got more time. Okay, we're going to go back then to the voice of the sign just for a little bit here. And I can't read too much. I just want to recap some of the points that I've got underlined here. Now, to the newcomers this week, we've tried to show that God from the beginning knew the end. See, just like we're talking about. He's infinite, for he isn't God. He's got to be omniscient and omnipotent, be God, all power, knows all things, all places, knows the end of the beginning. If he doesn't, then he isn't God. So there isn't anything really out of cater, it's us. He's telling us, you see, things look pretty bad, but they're not, they're in the hand of God. But see, even the wrath of God, man will praise him. And he ruleth in the heavens, the armies in the heaven and earth, and he doeth whatsoever he will, and he putteth up whom he will, and he bringeth down whom he will. Now Nebuchadnezzar knew that before Joe Stalin and Mein Kampf Hitler got on the deal. All right. When that hour comes for it to happen, the words allotted for that age, it happens. Now, listen, brother, sister, he's talking about events made clear and the sign of, and the voice of a sign. Now he has a sign and it has a voice and it's end time. He is not talking about other events that are made clear through church history. He is talking about this hour, the church age ministry that God gave him, led him to these events in this hour, which is end time. You follow me? Well, that's what you got to understand when you read this. See? Now, nothing's in the Word of God out of order, just ticking like a clock, and when that hour comes for it to happen, the words allotted for that age, it happens. Now, we might think it isn't going to happen. They're the ones that say, hey, everything's just going on, you know. Sometimes it happens, though, and we don't know it. Now, these are prophetic events. Now, he's not talking about being born again. He's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the same thing. He's not talking about water baptism and doctrine. He's talking about happenings. You follow me? That's what he's talking about. And a prophet at that time. See? Now, Jesus said one time, they said to him, why is it all the scribes say Elijah must first come? Now he's proving his point. See, now they believe that. They believe that Elijah was coming. They believe there's a rapture coming too. See? Jesus looked and said, Elias has already come and you didn't know him. Now that's the presenter or the messenger of the covenant to the messenger of the covenant. Or the great covenant himself. Remember, God swore by himself. Okay? There's scripture on that. We'll leave that till later on. If the Lord brings it back to me, I don't know. It gives me some more thoughts on it too, because I don't have them rounded out yet. Now, Jesus said, he's already come. You didn't know him. Now see, it passed right by those scribes, ministers, disciples. It was John the Baptist. And he came in every way that Elijah was supposed to come, yet they didn't recognize him. Now, how could they, when you compare scripture and what actually happened? Well, let's look at scripture. All the high places made low, all the low places made high. Oh, crying in the list. Great things, tremendous. Huh? That's tremendous. Why, John didn't even do any miracles. He did some preaching. Then Jesus comes by and said, hey, I'll tell you something. No greater man, greater any prophet born of woman was no greater than John, but he's greater than all of them. They say, oh boy. What are you talking about? Legitimate, isn't he the dud that says that he knew Abraham? One word, Abraham, he knew, the guy that ran the pawn shop. Now, come on. I want you to know something here. That you and I may think that we are smart enough to understand by our own intellect the Word of God and the events that are taking place out there, we don't know them. We just semi-know them. We're smart enough to know something is taking place, like a little Sodom condition. But they've had a Sodom condition for years. It's just getting riper. Now they got a little Eid to help it out. God deliver me from these puns. I just can't help myself. I'm sorry for the people that get into that mess because a lot of innocent folk are going to get hurt by it. But the Sodom condition has been here. But Brother Brand said, if I had to judge these times by just one event, it wouldn't work. All of it's got to be in. I stood with the prophet on that. That's why the rapture couldn't take place tomorrow morning unless we missed everything like these people did. See? All right. As I say here, commenting on what Brother Branham said, they were supposed to know. They believed it. And it went plumb over their heads because they could not identify what was going on with what the Scripture said would go on. And when it was shown to them that that was it, they still turned it down. Now, what are you going to do in the face of vindication, brother, sister? You know, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham was not lying or stretching when he said a man came to someone. He said, I don't believe you can heal anybody. He said, no, show me some of that divine healing. Brother Branham said, I ain't got none. Which I wouldn't believe he had. He said, certainly not. He said, you're an unbeliever. That's that Church of Christ stuff again. Well, let's cut the little girl, you heal her. Why don't you go cut your head off and I'll see if I can heal that. No insult and injury, men, but look at it. If you want to smart off, let's go ahead and answer a fool and his folly. That's right, answer the fool and his folly. The Bible says so. You know, don't cater to that nonsense. Brother Ben said, you're already blind. He said, might be blind. You're already blind. That was the right answer. He said, your father made you blind. So I'm helpless, mate. You're already blind. Now, if somebody say, well, that's just begging the question. That's just walking around. Oh, no, it wasn't. That was the Word of God. Jesus could have done a lot of things. He said, well, he could have said the same. He said, make these loaves, these rocks into bread. Well, he said, I don't think I'll do that. I'll do something else. He didn't cater at all. He said, get rid of it. Get out of here. Get out of here. Peter's a nice guy. He said the wrong thing. He said, get behind me, Satan. I'm not trying to be smart with anybody, but the thing is this, brother, sister, look. There's too many people don't realize that this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which was spoken by Jesus Christ himself. This is that spoken by the apostles and prophets. You cannot treat this word of this hour lightly. You cannot treat it without full due respect and conscious spiritual understanding, and still say that you are some type of a reverent servant of God. No way you're reverent. No way am I reverent. Well, that's understandable? Certainly it is. Now, the voice of the sign. No, he said here, it behooves us to recognize the hour we're living in. It's good for us. Upon that, I want to speak tonight the voice of the sign. A strange text, yet God does strange things in unusual ways. That makes him God, because he's supernatural. And everything that he does supernaturally. Now, the voice of the sign, and the prophet, remember, the prophet's the sign. He's got a voice. There is a voice to the sign. There's a voice to blood. Blood spoke out on the earth and so forth. The righteous blood of Abel spake out and spoke out against Cain. The Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ speaks greater things than the blood of Abel did. You, that's true? What does the blood of what Jesus Christ speak to us tonight? Complete and perfect redemption. The baptism with the Holy Ghost individually. The token himself coming down, sealing the whole church in. The going away of the bride. What's it based on? Blood. The Spirit answers the blood. Everything is in the blood. The Spirit answers. Now, we want to look at this now as he brought it to Israel. How he did it. And the Mary did it. When the time of the promised word was to be fulfilled, God called Moses by foreordination and elected him to the job seat. God's always got the person on the mark at the time. William Brand. Nothing fails with God. He said it and it can't fail. If it fails, then God fails because God is the Word. That's Logos. He's the manifestation of his own Word. He wrote it. He brings it to pass. Notice. Now, the Word had to be manifested. And when the Word had to be manifested of a promise, God always sends a prophet to manifest that promise because the Word of the Lord comes to him. Now, that's not the promise, I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to do so-and-so. Because that already was vindicated and shown, and the records are there. It's in the gifts. This is not in gifts. This is the Word of God at a juncture, a specific time. He's got to have a prophet. Moses, foreordained for the purpose, was called to the job. Well, certainly, who else would he get? No one else could do it. That's wonderful. Why, they all tried to grab the ball from Brother Branham, though. Oh, brother, sister, when God has called a person for a job to do the job, there's no one can take his place. You're each one set in God's economy just for its place. You're each one set in God's economy just for its place. I don't know what your place is. Your place is in Christ. That's all you need to know. That's all. One fasts. Now listen, one fasts all the time and communes with God, while another casts out devils because of this one's fasting. Now, who said a man's got to fast and pray and cast out devils? Maybe some sister's praying and fasting, and somebody's casting out devils. Say, oh, look at my great ministry, hallelujah. Well, poor sister so-and-so is the one who doesn't get any glory, but she'll get it on the judgment day, and he'll be set aside to one side, maybe, and he'll say, I cast out devils. He said, hold it, I never knew you. But I knew sister so-and-so down there. It was her prayers I'd answer. Oh, man, you talk about insult to injury. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you can see how it could. So you see, if you've got some ministry, you're led to God to do something, just go ahead and do it. Don't look for little strange things that happen. Little strange things happen to me. Three times now, it's just like I lay down and just like I'm asleep, but I'm not asleep. I'm not thoroughly awake and I'm not in a trance. I can't tell you what it is. But it's like a voice says something, it just comes to pass. I just phoned a guy and warned him the other day. I couldn't get him by phone. He phoned me next day, so I told him. I said, you watch it. Sure as I stand here, something's in the brewing. But you say, that's a minute. No, no ministry. That's just some little thing. My ministry is, which I don't do too well, I admit it, I'm very faulty, is teaching. I've got a gift to see things and they just come out like that. See? It's not hard to do what I'm doing. No, it's not difficult at all. It's very easy. There's no price to pay. It's just solid whipped cream. The tough part is what he said here. Just being in the bride of Christ and praying and fasting, if necessary, God puts it on your heart. Now I said, now listen, but it's the whole body of Christ working together, the unity. So Brother Branham said, if the hand does it, the body does it. And he said then what William Branham was anointed to do by the Holy Ghost, God himself there in his own person, working through a prophet in the way it's all laid out before us. He said, that's the body doing it. Well, that ought to make everybody happy. To know that you don't have to go looking around and having hands laid on you and hands laid off you and this one and that one and every trying to be somebody. Look, if you're either somebody, you ain't somebody. Just get back relaxed in God. This is relaxing time. The pressure's off and the heat is on. Going to get us warmed up tonight. Not tonight, but through the ministry of Brother Branham. Certainly God gave me it. See, now, like where would my teaching be except I got something to fall back on in him? Where would I be? Where would pastors be today? If there's any time the pastor to be responsible this hour, because he said, you're ordained to see the people through. And a lot of pastors would say, well, I'm ordained. That means you got to stick with me, pal. I like what Harry Marconder said. He said, if I could find one pastor I knew who was ordained to see me through, I'd quit right now and go where he is to make sure I made it. I'll let the preacher take that one up. That word ordained means commanded. He's commanded to be loyal and thoughtful and kind and help and bless the people. Muscle them up. I think you're looking at one that's maybe not too hot at all this, but I'm coming. And we're going. We're getting there together. I'm depending on you and you're depending on me because he gets all the ministry. See, got to have someone to preach. It takes go up, well, literally plumb around the world. That ain't nothing to do with me. So I've got to have people to preach to. So we're all in this together. And you've got to realize we're all part of each other. And some of us got corns. Or like being stepped on. Hey, just stop stepping on people. See, let's be nice, sweet, and kind, and generous. Who said that? The word said that. It's the whole body of Christ working together, the unity. When we see the denomination barriers breaking up. Now, he said, that's what hurts, he said, these denominations. Because that's the thing that separates us. We are one. There's no big people among us, no great people. We're all the same. We're all children of God. That's the secret to reality, brother, sister, and unity. There's only one great one amongst us. That's Christ. He didn't say in us, he said amongst us. We must recognize him. And if we seek honor, listen, if we seek honor one from another, we cannot have faith because we're having faith in one another. Great teacher, leave there. Hogwash. Great apostle, so-and-so. He's so-and-so. Hogwash. Great pew fillers.
Amen.
Oh, that one stunk. Yeah. I'm being as kind as I can. I'm not facetious tonight. I feel good when I'm doing and saying. I don't feel any bad spirit or anything trying to rise up and dictate anything in this building here. I just want to lay it on here, brother, sister, that this is what it's all about. The sheer simplicity. The sheer simplicity in honor preferring each other. Realizing the ultimate good and the worth that Christ saw in each one of us because it was in there in a seed. Now, we've got faith in Christ, he said. He's the one among us that we must have faith in. And then faith in what he's doing and has to give us. What is he doing? He has already done the eventing. See? The prophetical events are coming to pass. The prophet is there. He sends a prophet to attract their attention through signs and wonders. We get our eyes now not on the prophet but on God. What he is doing. See, what's he doing? What has he given us? All of these things are ours that we might capitalize on His grace and His glory. I'm finished preaching. I'll start you again. 10 years from now, we'll be finished. That's a good estimate. Lord, love you all. It's time for communion service. It's almost 9:30. So you just can turn the tapes all off. I'm just going to read Scripture to you at this particular time. And then we bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again that we have had this time together to continue again tomorrow morning, Lord, by Your grace and by Your help. In the same Spirit of Jesus Christ, one of love and unity and sweetness and kindness in the Holy Ghost, which we know, Lord, is not of the people, but it's in the people and it's of You. And we appreciate that, to know that we don't have these things of ourselves. It's something, Lord, that You moved into this building tonight, and it wasn't here maybe previously in the way it's here tonight. But, Lord, there is something that is different tonight, and I appreciate it so much, O God, that we just don't have these feelings that we have when we used to preach and all these things amongst us. But it's something come down to a sweetness of a purity of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. At least I believe it is, Lord, and I'm counting on it that that is so. That each one of us, Lord, just nestle down within the arms of grace of Jesus Christ and do whatever we can for each other as we worship and glorify Your great name with Your Spirit directing and helping us, examining our motives, for this is the great day of visitation, the great day of examination. Then, Lord, if You are here, the great...